listening to Wake Up Hollywood with Nikki Kalula and Eddie Pence, right here on LA Talk Radio.
For the most, Nikki Kalula. We're going to jump right into this interview. We have a creative musical genius, Mr. Jackson Allen. I don't use those words sparingly, and I mean it, dude. You are a musical genius, and then some, dude.
That's funny, man. Well, appreciate it, dude.
Well, you are, and you know what the reason is? You play drums, you play bass, you play a killer guitar, you play a killer mandolin, banjo. You just rip on all these instruments, and you sing and you write, and it's just not fair because, man, I always feel like I'm playing catch up as a musician, like on keys and on guitar, and I see a cat like you and I'm like, he's playing five times as many instruments and he's a badass at all of them. So my first question is, when did you start playing your first instrument?
Okay. Well, no, it's just funny because I feel like I'm playing catch up also all the time. So it's never, you know.
Just don't even.
My parents got me like drums when I was in kindergarten.
Oh my God.
Around that time. My family's music, my dad was a professional musician. So then I was running around the house banging on stuff. So he like
got his guitar. Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah. So then he got his buddies to like piece together whatever broken drums and stuff they had sitting around. My first kick drum, I still have it. It's like an old Rogers, like 1940s, 50s kick drum. And it's Sammy Hagar's drummer at the time. It's his drum because he was like buddies with him and he was off the road because Sammy was in Van Halen. So like, they got me drum lessons with him, and he gave me some broken cymbals and shit. Yeah, it's cool, right?
No wonder. See, this all makes sense to me. Yeah. Your dad was like a session musician, a touring musician. Tell me what he played.
Yeah, he did. He did kind of all of the above. When I was younger, he was touring more. He did like the big, like the biggest stuff that he did. He did a couple years with Steve Miller.
Oh, that's awesome.
And then just like he was San Francisco Bay Area, so. All of those, yeah, Bay Area artists, and then was playing. He was doing some of the Broadway stuff like Rent and Mamma Mia when it was out and about, and yeah, just, you know, gigging dude.
You have to ask him if he knows a guy named Kenny Lee Lewis, because my friend has been playing with him since the Abracadabra years. Is that the era, like thereabouts, he was playing with Steve Miller? Before?
He was like 89, 90 were the years.
I'm sure they know each other then.
Okay, yeah. There's like, Norton Buffalo was playing harmonica. And I remember the drummer would give me like drum tips. This guy, I think he's still around. This dude, Gordy Knutson.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Did you jam with your dad? Was that like your first musical kind of experience, was kind of learning music from your dad?
Yeah, we would go out to the garage and like, I mean, they would just let me wail away on the drums too. And then he would, you know, come in and play sometimes. Yeah.
That's awesome. First of all, that's super rad. Second of all, what was the moment of Zen that made you like know in your heart and soul that you want to be a musician?
I don't know. It was just kind of like what it was. Like, it was just what I did. Like, I never really thought about doing other stuff.
Right.
Because it was just around and I was into it and I liked it. And I was just like loved. Yeah, I would listen. I got way into like I was into Bob Marley and Steely Dan.
Hell yeah.
And the Beatles, and I would play those records on repeat, and I was just like into it. So because I knew I was around music all the time too. So then it wasn't like some, like I see it with my kids now, like what I do makes sense to them, and then what other parents are out doing is like people with normal 9-to-5 jobs and stuff. You know, it's just like is what it is. So my, like, oh yeah, this is what I do.
My kindergartner, you shove in a drum set and your kids, you're like, you need to start playing now because you're late to the party.
Yeah, no, we already got he's got a drum set. Yeah.
That's awesome. That's awesome. So your first real record that you would say was a Beatles record that made you kind of like fall in love with music?
Yeah, they're up there. I've always like the Steely Dan stuff, even when I was a little kid, I was really into it, like the whole box set.
I have that up on this little
okay cool shelf right here. Yeah, and that was like we don't have planned questions, but just that stuff like was what made me want to play more. I wanted to play a chordal instrument because I wanted to know like what they were doing,
right?
Like all the cool, like all the harmonic stuff that they were doing was like this mystery. So I was playing drums forever and you're going like, well, what is that? And how do I...
And they're also like playing with so many cool kind of chord progressions, sounds, like textures, yeah. The songwriting's like super advanced. I mean,
I love it.
They're actually the only band that every member of my band loves.
Okay.
That's one band we all know. Like we played a festival one time where they played and we all went because that was the one band everybody was like, I want to see Steely Dan. But yeah, no other bands is everybody that passionate about because Steely Dan's the shit. They're just the baddest, you know? So what a crazy band to get in when you're young though. That's pretty crazy.
And then for whatever, which I still, the funny thing about those is I still like there's stuff that I got into in my teens or whatever. Cause you're trying to like fit in that now I don't want to listen to it all, but I'm still down. There's like Bob Marley and the Wailer stuff I loved. I would go to sleep to it. I had like a record player in my room when I was like little, and I would like just put on like Bob Marley and the Wailers and pass out, and my parents would have to come in and like shut off the record player or whatever. So I do. It was
your favorite Bob record.
Man, I really like the ones I know the best are like Natty Dread and Catch a Fire. Great. And I still, yeah, and I've stolen a ton of shit from, because like the bass and drums relationship and that stuff is like, it's the coolest to me. And I still put it on and go like, this is the best.
It's the best.
Yeah.
You know, Al Anderson is a friend of mine and I met him when I worked at Guitar Center and he played on almost every Bob record.
Oh, is he the...
You know him. He's in the Wailers now, but I think
is he the No Woman No Cry, the live solo? Is that him? Yeah, dude. That's like one of the best.
And all the Babylon by Bus, like there's my favorite solo of his, I think is I think it's on Steer It Up, maybe. It's either Steer It Up or it's one of the songs on Babylon by Bus. That's him. He played on every record except for the first one.
Okay, yeah, then I know his playing very well, and it's incredible. It's so good. Yeah,
and he played on Ben Harper with My Own Two Hands. He's playing.
Okay,
so he's like he was like the reggae guy for a long time for a lot of people, but
Survival's
my favorite Bob record. I can't get enough of that record. Maybe it was because it was like the first like studio record outside of Legend that I listened to, where it was like front to back. But man, that record is so slamming. It's all of his records. I kind of feel like Bob Marley doesn't have a bad song. Like he's the only artist that doesn't have like a terrible song out there.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah, he really doesn't. I mean, I think he's the only artist that never has written a bad song. None of his songs are bad.
One is funny because I feel like he's sort of like almost like it's not really underrated, isn't the right way to say it. But like all these like whatever Santa Barbara frat kids get into it or whatever, and it's like, you know, I'm still like, oh, but it's like better than you actually think it is, though.
It's so deep. It's very true. It's very true. All right. So you got into guitar. How old were you when you started playing guitar?
I got like serious about it in my later teens. Like same thing. I had guitars and I had instruments around. The shameful one is that I had pianos around and just never really. I'm terrible at piano.
Well, then you can just pick that up soon.
Yeah. No, it's hard. It's very difficult for me.
It is difficult, but you know what? I have a feeling you'll be able to get it if you just spend some time with it.
I just go, I'm like two fingers on it.
See, I feel like that with drums. I mean, like when I see you play, like when I see you doing videos on drums, I'm like, that guy's a badass. Like, you're a badass on just guitar if no one ever knew anything about you other than your guitar playing. And then you get on drums and you rip on drums. It's like, dude, cool. Can this guy stop making videos? Because I would just want to retire and just be like, hang it up. This time, just hang it up.
That's funny. But yeah, no, I got way more into guitar later. Yeah, later teens. And then I didn't really get super serious about it until like I was 20, I think. But I've been playing, so I had some stuff I could do. But then I went to school for a year and showed up. And I was trying to take drums and guitar, but they said I had to pick one. So I picked guitar because I wanted to get the harmonic. I wanted to be able to play through changes. I wanted to be able to, just like harmony, I wanted to understand how harmony and melody and all that stuff worked.
And isn't it crazy? Like, once you kind of like get something down, there's this whole other genre that can just totally flip you upside down, and you have to like learn, like, kind of like, I feel like that this way with samba. Anytime I hear like samba, salsa, merengue, I'm always like, oh my God, this is just a total different bag.
It's complete mystery.
It drives me crazy. Yeah. I'm like, oh yeah, I got this reggae thing, I can skate. And then I hear some guy doing salsa and I'm like, I can't do that. I don't even want to like mess around with it. It's like,
yeah, no, I have no idea what to play. That's like, it's very much a different world. Yeah.
So you got into jazz. I assume you got heavy into like Mike Stern. What jazz guitarist did you get into besides, you know, I'm sure Wayne Krantz is on.
Yeah, dude. I love Wayne Krantz. Yeah, for sure. We went and saw, right when I moved to LA, I went and saw Stern when he was doing that. What's the record's name? It's the one with Richard Bona's on it. I think he's on a couple, but, that was really cool to me. Stern, I never, like, he's amazing. But the guys, I was into, like, I'm always into a little bit, like, the Wayne Krantz stuff really does it for me, or did. I'm kind of out, you know, whatever. You go through eras, phases of stuff. But I, the Stern stuff, and, like, I got really into, I've got a bunch of Oz Noy records.
Oh, cool.
And then straight ahead stuff. It wasn't always guitar that, like, I got, like, the Bill Evans stuff.
Oh, yeah. He's the best.
Yeah, that kind of blew my mind, like, when I got introduced to, yeah, and then I went out and bought a bunch of Bill Evans records, and still, like, just, I mean, same thing. His harmonic stuff is insane.
I have such a respect for jazz artists. I think jazz artists are, like, I think they're the most knowledgeable and best musicians of all genres, just because they know so much about everything when it comes to changes, feel, time. And it's, yeah, like, I have such a respect for them. When I hear somebody come out with a record, I feel like jazz is like so underrated for what the level of musicianship is, because these guys are just slamming. They're slamming musicians.
Yeah.
People just don't know who they are, what they do. And it's just like, man, you're crazy.
Yeah. Jazz can have like an accessibility issue.
Right.
You know, to like get, and I love it, but it, like, I can see that sometimes where you're gonna alienate, like my cousin who's not a musician, it just like gives her the creeps. She's right. Like, I can't deal with this.
Well, sometimes Mike Stern, I can listen to his solos and I'm like, ooh, you're going way out. It doesn't, you know. But like Barney Kessel, Grant Green, like those guys, I hear them playing, like, damn, dude, I want to play jazz guitar.
There's a bunch of that. I wish I knew more. It's funny, like, I'm so limited in, I have these little pockets of music that I know pretty well, and then, like, I'm bad about checking out, like, the full, because there's all, like, I started doing more of it up here, but, like, organ trio kind of stuff.
Oh, yeah, man.
And there's a bunch of awesome music just in that world that then I'm like, oh, why don't I know? I should know more about this, because it's so, like, all the Jimmy Smith stuff. I feel like I should know more about it. Oh, I think you froze for me.
Yo, you there? I don't know what happened.
Yeah.
All right. I don't know what happened. I was just sitting here and then nothing, and then it just disappeared. I was like, what? All right, sorry. You were saying you had little pockets of jazz and then...
Oh, yeah, I should know more of the, like, I don't investigate as far as I should. And, like, then I'll get into, I'm just, like, really scattered. But then, yeah, all this, like, Jimmy Smith, like, these quirky, cool little organ trio tunes and all that's super fun to play.
I have a box set of his, like...
Yeah, I should know more of that.
He's such a badass. Lonnie Smith, most people don't know Lonnie Smith, and I think he is just a badass. And it's
yeah, because
like,
he passed pretty recently, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
So I met him in New York maybe 20 years ago because I was heavy into Lou Donaldson. I don't know if you know Lou Donaldson, but he's got a record called Everything I Play Is Funky. And it was like,
okay,
all the cats were like all the same cats on all of his records. Lonnie Smith was his guy.
Okay.
And they both played like a Charlie Parker festival in New York. This is why New York is spoiled. It's like, dude, these guys are just playing in Central Park for a jazz, like a Charlie Parker jazz festival in the middle of August, like no big deal. And people just like walking by like, oh yeah, this is, but it was packed. But right. Yeah, he's one of the cats. And I feel the same about jazz. But I love that all of these things were influences on you. I know country music is a huge influence on you.
I love it.
How did you kind of like switch gears from jazz to country? Like what were the influences? Was it your dad's guitar playing? Was it just your friends listening to records or what?
No, so like most of my friends weren't into country's this weird, also like a very alienating genre. Like people are like into it or like extremely not. Right. I get irritated like if I'm teaching lessons and then the student's like, yeah, I don't like country music. I'm like, bro, you're playing guitar, dude. Like, what are you, how? No, you're not allowed to say that.
Yeah, exactly. You know? That's very true.
So, which is funny because I sort of had that attitude a little bit. Now, I grew up, so my dad was really into like a bunch of roots, like American roots. Like we had, like he put on that like John Hiatt record with Sonny Landreth and all those dudes, like that Bring the Family record. And he was into like some, but even like the fusion-y stuff he was into would be like the Dixie Dregs, right?
Right.
You
probably like Little Feet. I'm sure you like Little Feet.
Yeah, but extremely liked Little Feet. You know, like all that stuff. So that kind of like, even if it's not straight up country, you know, there's music with a twang was happening. But then when I was older, I was kind of the same thing where you're like, ah, yeah, I don't like country music or whatever. Just because whatever your friends say it. So you repeat whatever they say. Right. And then I was like dating this girl that was really into like pop country. So we'd drive around and she'd like make me put on the pop country station. And like, then,
no.
Yeah, I'm like, whatever, we could listen to it, I guess, you know. And then like it's playing, you're like, this shit's really, I like this. This is really good. Well, then, like all the guitar on it. I mean, it's like Brent Mason is on like most of all of it, and he's the best. And then you're like, oh, okay, this is like
Brad Paisley.
Brad Paisley's a ripper, dude.
He's a ripper, dude. And most people don't even know that he can play like that.
Keith Urban can play. Like all those dudes. Yes. All those dudes are good.
Dude, this is what I love. I know you just moved up to the Bay Area, but this is what I love about LA. I walked into a little sandwich joint on Sunset called Chibo. I've been going there for years.
Uh-huh.
I walk in and Keith Urban is just sitting there eating a Caesar salad. Yeah. And the only thing I could say to him was like, oh, dude, you're one hell of a guitar player. He's like, thanks, man. And I was just like, I went back and sat down. And I was like, I probably could have said something way better than that, but that's all I could come up with in that.
He probably likes it, though, because everybody thinks him as a singer. But, dude, right. He can play.
He can try.
So, yeah, then and then I started realizing, like, with the country music, like, the songwriting's really, really good in it.
Yep.
You know, phenomenal songwriting from, I mean, still currently it's got incredible. And I feel like people write, you know, there's whatever. There's some modern pop country that's maybe a little cookie cutter, and it's not good. But a bunch of the modern stuff's killing, too.
Right. I totally agree.
So yeah, I'm a fan and it's got the best. I tell everybody like Brent Mason's Instagram. If you're like into guitar and playing guitar, Brent Mason's Instagram account is the coolest. Because he just
I have him on Instagram. I'm gonna have to have him, dude.
He just sets up his phone like somewhere where he's in the studio every day. And he just sets up his phone and you can watch 15 minutes of him just like tracking guitars in a studio. Yeah. And he just plays the most crushing shit like
just like
over and over and over.
Right.
And it's a really cool look like for if people haven't done studio stuff or even if you have done studio stuff to watch like, you know, the number one call guy.
Right.
Just knock stuff out. It's really. Yeah.
So did you start bands in high school or anything like that? Or were you just kind of very focused on just individually getting better?
Yeah, I was always playing in, I was playing drums in a bunch of different bands. I always wanted to be in bands. I liked bands. You know, and at that point, then I was really into like Faith No More.
I texted you Mr. Bungle, dude.
I love Mr. Bungle. I got a buddy of mine introduced me to that when I was like 15 or whatever. And you're like, this is my favorite thing I've ever heard. And so I wanted to be in, rock bands. So I was playing drums mostly. And then I started being like irritating to the people and like the guitar players, because then I'd try to start offering my opinions on what chords they should be playing, but I didn't know anything, so I couldn't be like, well, what about something different? They're like, what do you mean? It's like, I don't know, dude, I don't play guitar. Like, what do you, you know? So that was part of like going like, okay, let me figure this out so I can have some kind of like handle on it, so that I'm not just the guy, you know, offering incredibly unconstructive criticism
on that. What was that?
yeah now I'm like, I don't know, man, the one that sounds kind of weird, could you do that?
So it was in the influence of Mr. Bungle, like Mike Patton, that kind of stuff.
So I'm definitely like the teenage years, all that weird, that stuff. Like I was into Primus, so I was learning all the like Primus drum parts. I got way into that. And whatever band, I was just happy to play. I like playing, which is funny because I end up doing a bunch of stuff on my own now, but like really like playing in a band setting and playing music with people and doing that, and like the collaborative thing has always been really interesting to me. And so I've always, up until now, the last couple of years, was always really involved in projects like that.
It kind of sounds like you kind of like learned a lot about playing with people while you're in these bands, and now you apply that even as you're playing other instruments, you know, because like when I hear your stuff, I don't hear that this is one, because you can usually tell like, oh, this is one guy playing with the same feel on every instrument. But I listen to your stuff and it's like the first thing you sent me was this is the first thing we're going to play. And I was just so blown away. I was like, dude, this guy is ridiculous. This is amazing. So we're going to start with that Los Angeles video.
Okay.
Talk a little bit about, I know like this is an old song to you, but I still think it's like masterfully brilliant, not only in the song construction but also in the music video. Tell me about, you did these stick figure drawings on this concept.
So that one, like that was sort of the early I got into, like we'd had a Pro Tools rig for a minute, but then I'd like built it. We had a house in Pasadena and I'd turned the garage into a studio and then got it up and running again. And then it was kind of an idea that I'd had that I'd wanted to do, sort of like a me playing all the instruments thing. So that was like one of the first things I recorded. And then it was always like, I don't know, I'll just have this like weird contrarian kind of approach to stuff sometimes. So that one was that I felt like in LA, if you were like a singer songwriter, like every singer songwriter that I met or played with or saw had a song about Los Angeles.
Right.
So I felt like I should write one of those. Well, it's funny, and we were kind of talking about this right before we came on, is that like when you're in LA, there's stuff about it that's like irritating and that bothers you. And then like I left LA and then like, oh my God, like I miss, like, I mean, everybody's there for a reason and purpose, and people are doing stuff and they want to be doing stuff and there's stuff happening. And so then I missed it. But like that, you know, because I felt like all these singer-songwriters are writing these love songs for Los Angeles. So I wanted to write the opposite of it. You know, I don't know, whatever, just to be
where did you grow up? I don't think I asked you that. Where did you grow up?
I grew up in the North Bay, in Petaluma. Little like small town in the North Bay, the Bay, San Francisco Bay Area.
Tell me about the name of the project too.
So then the art, the video thing, just I was trying to think of how to make a video like without, just to make one really cheap without any expense and stuff. And so then I was like, oh, you know, you make like flip books on post-it pads, right? So then I was like, oh, we can make a flip book, but I'm like, well, you can't just like flip through it. So I was like, okay, well, we can just do a drawing on a post-it, and then each, you know, so I wanted the post-its to be so like it's a flip book, and then just each drawing. And I knew it was going to be a lot, but then when we got into it, like, you know, by the first, you know, we took a picture, and each picture is like, I don't know what, point something of a second or whatever, and then we got like 10 seconds of video done you know, you're like, oh, this is cool, and holy shit, this is gonna take forever.
I remember asking you about it, and you're like, yeah, I think I made 1,000+ drawings of stick figures. I was like, man,
that's you crazy. Can see as the, like, I was real elaborate for a while, and as the video goes longer, I got sick of drawing them, so they just get like worse. They're like, oh my god, let me just get through this thing.
Well, what's funny is, like, number one, I'm obsessed with flipbooks, so I have flipbooks here.
Oh yeah, perfect. Yeah.
So, like, I love flipbooks. I'm obsessed with them. I've always been obsessed with them. Second of all, I love when people are creative on, like, this on limited budgets, because it just shows you it doesn't matter how much you spend on something. It matters making something cool and unique. And you did that with this.
I mean, yeah, you can.
You did it out of the park.
Oh, so, thanks, man. So the name is like, My buddy Santiago that I met when I was in school, I lived with him for a little while too. He would always call me. Oh, because I think one of my email addresses was like Jacksonius or something. Like, I don't know. So then he would always call me Monk, also because I'd just like disappear and go be by myself or whatever. So then he started calling me Monk. And then I don't know. Then I was trying to come up. I wanted like the project. It's fun to me to have like, I don't know, for lack of a better word, like an alter ego or whatever, you know. So you put it out, it's not my name, it's like this other dude. So then you can do like just the off the wall weird shit, and it's like sort of this other entity. So that's, I just went with Captain.
Well, let's play Captain Monk. This is Los Angeles.
She's living for another day. She's got great tits, the morn of bless in this shithole Los Angeles. Such as this makes me a criminal. Lay it close to the vest and I'm employable. Something too like the rest, I'm just despicable.
Is such a killer video and song, dude.
I think it's funny.
It's so ahead of its time. You have no idea. It's so ahead of its time. What were you saying?
Oh no, I wish the post is at the end. I threw away the first batch of them before. That was only like the last third of the post that we did or something. I wish I'd kept them all. I just wasn't thinking.
That's a little tidbit that only people know that listen to this interview. But I mean, I can't. The thing is, it's like, there's a tremendous amount of patience with just like how many pictures of the characters you did. But then also it's all those ones that have all the shaded post-its where you like do all this coloring and stuff. It's like the way you made that kind of like also work in the animation is brilliant, dude. It's pretty badass, dude. I know you, you're very humble about it, but dude, you showed that to me years ago, maybe 8 years ago. And I remember just being like, wow. The song is killing, the video is killing, and this is all this guy. This is all you. So tell me, first of all, the groove is slamming. I know that's you playing all the instruments. How did you kind of how did you start writing this song?
Some of them I'll just like get a little like some tunes I'll sit with and I'll actually come up with an idea. And this one I pretty much just started like putting like guitar parts into Pro Tools and just, I don't know, just the initial idea, and then it was easy to run with.
So you start so with then, the guitar line? Is that what you did?
Yeah, probably that. Yeah, that riff. Or whatever, and then I just started piecing together stuff off of that. And I remember, like, because you can, I mean, the recording is like, I can hear it. The room, I didn't have any sound panels in it because we just made it. I just started, like, because I basically stopped playing drums for like a decade because I just wanted to do, I got really like, I get obsessive about it. So then I was just like, only guitar, this is all I'm going to do. I want to figure this out and get good at it. So then I stopped playing. Just then, like, yeah, right, I'd like picked it up to start being able to just like track this stuff. So like I can hear, I mean, my drumming's not like, there's wonkiness in it anyways, but
it's got feel.
And, I mean, you know, in that one, there's more wonkiness. It works. I can make it work, and I can like sort of, I think, like, have an understanding of how a song should be played.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So then even if it's like chops and I'm hung up on some stuff, but then you can kind of work around it by like whatever, playing either more sparsely or just kind of treating a song.
Thing is, like, artist to artist, it is a brilliant piece of work. I mean,
thanks, man.
Visually and musically and all the things, like, you know, as an artist, you're like hypercritical. That's always like when you hear like intonation or anything or any like groove, you're like, oh man, everybody's gonna notice that, and nobody notices that. You are hyper noticing it even as a listener when you listen to other people's stuff. Like, I just was listening to Jimi Hendrix All Along the Watchtower, and all of a sudden when the band comes in, it rushes like three clicks. I never noticed that before because I was always just enjoying the song. And now I listen to it, I'm like, I can't believe I've never noticed how much it rushed.
Right.
When the band comes in, because it never mattered. It doesn't matter. It's still going to be the badass cover of that song. You know what I mean? So like, but I mean, as an artist, I'm sure, because especially you're playing all the instruments, you're probably quadruply as hard on yourself because you're like, I hear every little thing.
Yeah, sort of like inner, I'm kind of okay. Like, also you're just like, well, that was a point in time when that happened too. So I'll let the things that actually bother me the most listening back to is like, if and like that one was a really early experiment, basically. Like, that was early. I hadn't really like written. I'd always wanted to write songs, but I just kind of hadn't. So that was like one of the first things I'd ever actually like written. That was like one of the first things I like sang.
I love it.
A mic.
So it's brilliant. It's so funky. Oh, thanks, man. It's so grooving. It's melodic. The parts are all hooky. It's just, it's bitching, dude. I know you were like, no, I don't want to play it. I'm like, we're definitely playing it because it's
so No, it's fun. Dude. It's fun, like, listening to it. And even not, like, I don't mean to be, like, hypercritical necessarily, but, like, it's interesting listening back. And then you're going, like, oh, okay, this is, like, not even, you know, some stuff I do differently or just the, yeah, like, what you were saying. Like, it's chronological. It's the progression of,
a lot of it, too, you get distance from it. And then all of a sudden the blemishes become like, oh, that's kind of cool. You know, you don't see it as this like, oh my God, it should be perfect, because who cares if it's perfect? That's never what my goal is, you know?
Oh, and I have parts like in that one. Well, the thing that I really like, I like bridges, and I like bridges that kind of come out of left field or that just do something totally different. And that one, the bridge is very satisfying to me.
Bro, it's so slick.
Because it like, yeah.
The whole song is like that. You take like an out, first of all, you take like a very out guitar line,
yeah,
super funky and super in the pocket and super grooving. That alone is commendable. And then you add the melody and how it plays with the arrangement. It's slamming. The chorus, it's like so Mr. Bungle, but I actually, going to be honest, I like it even more than Mr. Bungle. That's the biggest compliment I can give you, because like Mr. Bungle can go out and never come back.
Yeah.
Keep it like right on this edge of out and in, and that's my favorite when it's like,
it's fun when you can tie stuff together or like figuring out a way, like, how do we get back? I like even the bridge is like a little, and it mostly works, but just a harmonic adventure to like, how the, oh shit, I got to here. How do
we go? That's great.
How do we find our way back to this other song, right?
Yeah. I always sometimes I'll like use odd time signatures. And it's like, you know, when you're playing that stuff live and people don't know it, that's when you're always going to watch an audience trip over itself because
yeah, yeah, yeah.
They're not going to get this, but who cares? It's just got to be there. Yeah. I have a selfish question to ask you because this is something I think about all the time. Do you ever feel like with all the instruments you play, do you ever just feel like you just want to spend every hour just doing nothing but just shedding? Because like, I think about this all the time and it's something that sometimes keeps me away from playing. And sometimes it fires me up and I play for hours and hours and hours. But do you ever have these days where you just want to do nothing but just play all day, every day with just nothing but that to survive?
That's funny. It's gone. Like I was like that for a really long time. Now just that, like I have two kids.
Right.
So just like, and then I try to work as much as possible. So I don't really get time to like practice in the same sense that I used to. And then I've been really busy with just other stuff right now. So actually it's because I'll get like burnout. And I haven't had that feeling of like I need to practice, like just practicing, just shedding for quite a while. Sometimes like if I'm playing and I get whatever, if you're like playing a gig and somebody pulls up something real fast or whatever, then you're like, ooh, I should be practicing.
Well, it's like the monkey on my back. It's like, man, I should be learning tunes. I should be like, even if it's just like writing tunes, learning tunes.
For me, it's more of the writing. Yeah, right. It's more of the writing and like the production, like not even production as music production, but producing and creating music is more where I feel like I need to be doing more of that. And I'll see, you know, because it's hard not to look at, see what other people are doing too. And there's a dude up here that's that everybody should check out. He goes by Otis McDonald. You've actually like
love him already because my bulldog's name is Otis. All right.
His name's Joe Bigale, but he goes by Otis McDonald. Like everybody listening to this has heard his music because he's all over, like his songs will get used in like Instagram and TikTok reels. Like they'll give me a metric and they're like 20,000-30,000 people use this song in their reels. But he's my buddy out of San Francisco and like he fucking puts out music
constantly.
Like it's crazy, like the workflow and work ethic that he has and how much he's able to create. And that I look at that and that is what like fills me with, like, I don't know if it's like stress, but that feeling,
yes,
you know, of like I should be shedding, I should be doing stuff. I see that and like, well, what am I doing? I should be doing that.
You want your creative output to be that I always,
yeah,
that. Yeah,
yeah.
Especially when somebody's got like a new record out, or it's like, even if it's like what I love too, it's like if it's an artist or a peer or somebody that does something and it's really good, it makes you want to go make stuff. It's like,
yeah,
I want to respond to that, you know? So, and there's just so much, like there's so much access to everything. So it's easy to feel that on a daily all the time, right?
Yeah. And then it's, I mean, some of it is, I think some of it is practice in terms of like the practicing your craft. So, you know, writing, you get better at writing the more you write.
Right.
You know, and not all of them are going to be winners. You don't need to show people everything, whatever it is. But the more you do it, it's a craft and it's a skill set, just like playing an instrument is. So the more you do it. But I end up being more very phase, like that. The Bleed record that I put out, I did most of that, like most of that was 2020. And like I had I was at home not doing anything either.
Right.
Or like, well, panicking or whatever. that was like, I just would be able to sit down and just crank stuff out, and like ideas would come and they'd get pieced together easily. And I had the motivation to follow through with them. And then I go through phases where it's just either I'm not pushing it or it's just not, whatever it is. And that's sort of how I work to some degree, you know. Right. So everybody's got kind of their own.
Well, I also feel, I mean, the reason I ask this is like that monkey's always on my back. Like I should be playing. Like I ideally would like to be playing 3 hours every day.
Okay? Oh yeah.
Where I'm just sitting there and learning and like, or creating or writing or in a studio. Like that's what I would always love to do, but it's not totally possible if you want to have a home life, if you want to have a balanced life, if you want to be like physically active. I mean, there's so many things that kind of encompass life that are outside of that, but it's like the only thing I really care about.
Yeah.
Like always what I'm thinking about. So I totally hear what you're saying. I had to ask because if you're playing that many instruments, I mean, I just have guitar and piano that I'm thinking about. But man, if I played all the instruments that you do, I would be thinking about it like five times even more than I'm thinking about it with just those two. So
yeah. Now it's pretty much guitar. If I sit down and if I want to play something, it's pretty much guitar. Like I don't really shit. Yeah. Everything else like is mostly I just play them when I'm recording them.
Right.
But then I'll sit there and like try to come up with, so like if I'm putting bass on a track, I'll sit there and play it for like, I like spending time with it. So then I'll end up sitting there playing bass for a couple hours trying to find the part and just getting into it. And then I'll do a million passes at it just to like, you know, find all the nuances and find where the space should be and really sit with it. So that's where like the other instrument practice comes in.
Right.
And then I also cheat. Like I just tune a mandolin like a guitar.
Oh, that's nice. I like take it easy out, man.
Yeah, because like
you're like, I don't need all these different tunings and spaces.
Yeah, you start putting them in force or whatever. It's a guitar's hard enough, dude.
Well, that's what I'm trying to learn guitar like that, and it sucks, dude.
Yeah.
And I got a banjo. I think this is a banjo right here. I got.
Oh, man, I just tuned the banjo like a guitar, dude. Just totally.
I need to learn your ways, dude.
Yeah, it's all. It's totally just completely disrespectful of the instrument.
Well, let's play something else. Let's play Captain. Here's Captain Monk with Bleed.
My poor man's fortress. Let's go!
So slamming, dude. So slamming. You got to be like a Velvet Revolver, Stone Temple Pilots fan because that sounds
oh,
so
that's funny. No, like I don't have anything against them, but I was never like way into those dudes.
It sounds very Velvet Revolver, Stone early.
Oh,
Stone
cool.
I love those bands. Both those bands.
Yeah, yeah. Just oh, like ripping! Yeah.
And all the guitar sounds. Tell me the influence or inspiration behind it.
That I was just screwing around with like a resonator guitar, and it just kind of started that, like, you know, what it starts out with, the like slide resonator thing. I think maybe at that right, but I'd done a bunch of country stuff. I produced a country record for my buddy, and then I did like 10 country tunes for ESPN.
Wow.
So then I think I was sort of in a country phase. Maybe that's a, I think, or I don't know. Sometimes I'll just sit down. Like there's another song on that record that's dumb as hell that I just wanted to write like a country song and have it be like one of those sad bastard country songs because they're so much, you know, they're like they're the
fire songs, man.
Yeah, dude. So like sometimes I'll just be like, I want to write a. So I was thinking more like rock country stuff. And sort of that's why the guitar solo is very like sort of souped up rockabilly kind of.
Yeah, it's almost Black Crowes ish, but it's got more.
Okay, yeah, yeah, yeah. But that's I mean that makes sense. The Black Crowes is pretty like, you know, like rock, but with some
southern.
Yeah,
yeah, right.
Exactly.
I'm a huge Allman Brothers fan, so like,
okay,
twangy. I'm like, yes, you know.
Yeah. I'm with you. So that was like a resonator thing, and I think I'd kind of been messing around with that idea and started recording the song, and then like I have a cousin who went second cousin. He won't hear this anyways, but he's a really nice dude. He's actually a good dude, but he went like super like right wing, and then would like, but he loves country, and so anything I'd put up like, because I think I just put a video like a little Instagram clip of me like messing around with that riff. And anything that's like country flavored, he'd always like write, you know, just like, love where you're headed with this, brother. You know? And then, you know, so I'm like, oh, cool, man. Thanks. So then that's why because he's always like, I can't wait to hear what's going to happen with it. So then I wrote it like, I was just like, well, he'll hate this subject material.
Once again, you know what? That's what artists do. We disguise our messages in, you know, it's like you have like, political candidates using Born in the USA as like their theme song.
Right.
And that's not what that song's about at all. Yeah. You know what I mean? It's like, so like, that's what artists do. We disguise the message.
Sort of.
So
yeah. It's just like, yeah. Just spend a bunch of time just to be totally like pointlessly spiteful.
I mean, that's yeah. What I love about artists. They're like ahead of the curve and they wait for everybody to kind of catch up with whatever it is and then realize, wait a minute, that's what you're saying? Wait a minute, I'm not with that. You know, it's like,
yeah.
But that's what makes it so great. Do you ever play out with this project or is it just too impossible because it's you on everything, you know?
So that's been something that I've like wanted to do now. Now that I kind of got but it's always like, and it's something, so another thing that like, you know, you're talking about what you're like sitting there when you're going like, you know, grinding your teeth about stuff you should be doing. That's one of the things I really want to do. And just like, you know, we moved to a new area. So then I've been just, which now it's cool. But like the first, you know, year and a half, 2 years of just like building up contact, right. you know how much of this stuff is like just meeting people.
Right.
So then I was building up so that I have like, you know, gig work and stuff like that up here. So that kind of got, because I've always liked doing band stuff. LA, we're doing the Splice, the Main Brace stuff.
Yeah.
So I want to. It's like a thing that I want to do. And it just, it gets like, that's, I get irritated at myself because it gets pushed to the back burner of just because life is what it is.
I have a love-hate relationship. I don't know if you do too. I have like a love-hate relationship with touring and performing. Like,
yeah.
I always want to be doing it. But then there's another part of me, like, I turn into an old man real quick. I'm like, I got to lug my own gear. What's the pay? When it's totally. Like, in the moment, I'm like, oh, my God, why don't I do this every day? This is what I love. This is who I am. But when I think about it, when I'm at home, I'm like, why do I want to leave? The weather is okay. It's like I could be here at home chilling with the people I love. Like, yeah, it's...
Yeah. And then, I mean, you know, because you've done a bunch of bands and stuff. And, like, to get a band up and running and off the ground is just... hard to do. And then I'm like, all the guys that I would want to play in it are like work. I mean, they're
working all the time.
They're good. So they're working constantly. So it's either like, okay, I got to pay them a ton of money, which they deserve to come do this, or nobody's going to be available. And, you know, so I get hung up with that too. And like,
how do you piece together?
Yeah.
You know, the trick is I have three subs for everybody.
Yeah, there you go.
And then the other part of it is you just want it to just be like, I was just thinking about this earlier. I'm like, man, I don't even know what it's like just to be in a band where everybody's just in it to be in a band. Like that, you just don't have that. Unless you all grow up together and you're like, we're going to conquer the world together. And that's it. And that's rare. You just don't have that.
Yeah, it's harder to do once you're like, unless it's a bunch of Weekend Warrior stuff, like you're all plumbers and then you get together on the weekend, you know, just because it's fun. Or you're young. Because it was easy when I was young because people were like, hell yeah, I want to play or whatever. Right. Now it's like, you know, everybody's like the dudes that I want to play with are really busy.
Well, it's not only that too. It's like, is the with any recording project or performing project, it's like, is the juice worth the squeeze?
Yeah.
Is it going to be gratifying? Is it going to be in a cool venue? Is it going to be paid? Is it going to be, you know, it's all these things you think about. That's the old man side of it. It's like,
totally.
What am I doing this for? You know, but at the end of the day, we both just love playing music, and it's like who we are and what we do, and it's like the thing of why we're here, you know. And it's kind of like one of those things. You've made these great songs and these great compositions. You should play out. You should at least do one performance.
No, I know. I want to have it. Yeah, I totally want it to be a thing, and it would be really fun to be able to put this music in front of people because like what you were saying, like when I give it space and then we'll come back to the record, there's stuff in there that I really find enjoyable.
And what would you play guitar or would you play drums? Like what would you
No, I'll play guitar. And then I would want another guitar player because everything's so guitar heavy for obvious reasons that it would be nice to have somebody like cover other parts.
I know a guitarist that would be perfect if you do put it together in LA.
Okay.
You Ariel Man, you I'll,
oh yeah, yeah, yeah. I we don't like know.
Ridiculous. Yeah. He's a huge Mr. Bungle fan, so he would do it in our
yeah. I like know who he is. I think we've met in passing, but yeah, that dude rips.
He's awesome. You both together would be ridiculous, dude. Ridiculous.
Ah, that's cool, man.
Well, let's play another song. What are we playing last?
Did you want to?
Is it Settle In?
Settle Down.
Settle Down. That's it. Here's Captain Monk with Settle Down.
Too good.
So slamming. Jackson, we're running out of time. Where can people find you online if they want to look up Captain Monk or when they want to ask you to be on their next record? Where can people find you?
Man, most of the stuff is just, oh, this is where I'm like the worst, dude. my Instagram, Jackson Allen Guitar. And then, yeah, the record is, I don't have like a Captain Monk page or anything. So the record's up.
You should, absolutely.
I know, man. I gotta get it. I gotta hire some
kids. You got two kids. You got an excuse. That's all right.
I don't know. I gotta be better about that. Just Captain Monk. The records bleed. I got another 4 tunes that I'll put out under the same name coming out here soon. And it's on, you know, all that stuff, Spotify, Apple Music, wherever.
Well, music I'm gonna tell you the whole point of why I started this show is to showcase artists like yourself. Anytime you ever release, I'm going to have you come back in about 9 or 10 months, and we're going to showcase more tunes. So you always have an avenue to release stuff. Please keep still creating. Please always put out this music. It is so slamming. It's so ahead of the curve. I'm telling you, man, I'm a fan. I think the world is an artist. Keep making what you do because it's great, okay?
Man, very appreciated, Nikhil. Thanks for having me on, dude. That was awesome.
Yeah. Of course. On behalf of Jackson, myself, and Sam, we'll see you guys next week. Happy holidays. Peace and love.
You're listening to Wake Up Hollywood with Nikki Corulla and Eddie Pence right here on LA Talk Radio.